Today's show is sponsored by Miracle Made. And oh my God, you guys, you know that I love a luxurious set of sheets. And I now have such a set of sheets because of a Miracle Made. They are bedding that has been inspired by NASA. They've got silver-infused fabrics that actually make temperature regulating a thing. So you're not like getting too hot or too cold or whatever, you know, the whole thing that happens with your body's temperature losing its mind. Miracle Made helps with that. One of the little things that my husband particularly loves about Miracle Made is that it like doesn't have as much bacteria as regular sheets because of it's infused with this silver that prevents up to 99.7% of bacterial growth. So it leaves the sheets cleaner for longer. And then the thing for my husband is that it doesn't give him acne, which is like an issue for some people. But more than all of that, it's just luxuriously comfortable and delightful. And it has that cooling feeling while also being cozy. Very hard to achieve those two things at the same time. I mean, Miracle Made, come on, well done. So here's what I think you should do. I think you should go to trymiracle.com/fakethenation and buy some sheets today. And if you order today, you can save 40% off. Use the promo code FAKETHENATION at the checkout and you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. So there's just a lot of savings here, folks. Order today, you'll get 40% off. Use the promo code FAKETHENATION. Go to trymiracle.com/FAKETHENATION. And Miracle's so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you're not 100% satisfied, which I don't see happening, you'll get a full refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/fakethenation and use the code FAKETHENATION to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/fakethenation to treat yourself. Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode.
Fake the Nation, episode 184.
Oh,
yeah.
No, well, you'll be fine.
That's my first time.
The host is...
Oh.
she's quite vicious.
Okay.
Like, she's like vicious and inept.
This one. Okay, this one right here.
Is that fair? Vicious and inept?
And...
It's an unusual combo.
They were like the original host for this show was Kellyanne Conway, but then they wanted someone more vicious and inept.
Two,
so then they came for me.
One.
Hello, hello. This is Fake the Nation, where we talk about news, we talk about politics, and where we dispatch Ivanka Trump to Davos to bore economists with handbags. I am your host, Nagin Farsad, and I'm not at Davos. I'm not in California. I'm not anywhere else. I'm fucking finally back here in New York City. Oh my God, you guys, it feels so good to be back. sorry, I'm losing my mind. I mean, my throat. Today, we're going to talk about Trump. His little impeachment. We're also going to talk about the trail of elections. Stupid. Finally, we're going to talk about the Equal Rights Amendment that just passed in Virginia. All right, here we go. I'm so excited about the panel today, you guys. For the first time joining us, this woman, she's a visual artist, she's a filmmaker, she's been my friend for many years, beyond the stuff of talent, she's just a glittering chatter, like a glittering speaker of just English, you know, and it's so fun. She has a film premiering at the New York Jewish Film Festival at Lincoln Center on Sunday called Eleanor of Illinois. Because she fancy. You guys, it's Danielle Derschlag.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for being here. This next one.
I was trying to hold back a little burp.
I know. I was like, what is that face?
I saw it. It was so sorry. You did it.
It was a successful holding back of a
Nicely
burp.
Nicely done.
You should do a seminar on how to do that. That was really successful. Because it felt like a stage 4 burp, too. Like
yeah, it was going to be, not a... anyway, it's fine. It might. I'm just worried that it will come back again. So that can be a little. This is foreshadowing.
They never go away. Yeah, they just hide.
It could be a nice surprise later.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see which topic it comes back on.
Exactly.
Now, the voice you're hearing, she is a contributing writer to the New York Times. Mm-hmm. A little papier du record.
The Grey Ladies. One of the many daughters of the Grey Lady. I bet I'm not allowed to say that, actually.
Are you? Okay, well, it's been redacted by my voice right now. That was redacted. Okay. Is that how redacting works, guys? Yeah, I think it is.
The slutty daughter of the Grey Lady. Also not factual.
Redaction. You guys, she's also author of the book Maven America. You've heard her on this podcast before. You love her. She's also my friend.
Yeah, hooray.
Maeve Higgins, you guys.
Thanks for having me, Nagin.
Okay, let us get into it with topic number one. Not that anyone cares, but the historic trial of our now impeached minority president, Donnie Twimp, is now underway. Yesterday was the first day. We're taping today on a Wednesday. Mitch McConnell had to do so much suppressing of due process that he just, like, developed another chin. You know, it's just a chin where impeachment lives. God, because it's stressful. Now,
yes.
I'm going to start this out with a little quiz, okay? Who said the following line? Can we still put fairness, even-handedness, and historical precedent ahead of the partisan passions of the day? Today's vote will contain some answers.
Do you want to know who said it or who meant it? I believe Mitch McConnell was the person who said it.
He said it! Well done, Danielle. Maeve was, like, really stumped by that one.
Yeah,
I could tell she had no answer.
It's really hard to know. Like, when you say it, it sounds genuine. So
right.
I was like, did Nagin say it? Did she say that to her husband and child yesterday? But he said that. Isn't that brazen? He's gaslighting everybody.
Well, it's the thing that makes him so deviously phenomenal at his job, right? To actually utter that without shame, from his perspective, with his record, is, I would say, evilly impressive.
He is good at his job, isn't he?
No, it's so impressive. And the fun thing, too, just in terms of gaslighting, just so everybody knows what we're talking about, you know, he mentions precedent here, and he said, we're going to do the Bill Clinton precedent. Guys, we're going to do the Bill Clinton precedent, which involved what? Witnesses. Which involved what? 3 days of being able to make 24 hours worth of oral arguments or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then he was like, let's do no witnesses in only 2 days, which then makes it not the Bill Clinton precedent, right? And so that's where you're like, what are you talking about? The thing you just delivered is not the thing that was the Bill Clinton thing. So then you're just crazy. And then, so I don't know, I'll just give you my first blush reaction to yesterday. It felt like the Democrats had to do so much dusting off and cleaning up and just because, and I was trying very, very deeply trying to watch it as someone who doesn't want to just bash the GOP. I don't want to just bash the GOP.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to see what is happening here in their minds the core integrity to it, you know?
And so when you went back and said, okay, 3 days, did you feel better then? Or?
I felt better then. I did feel better because I was like, okay, they relented. I mean, they relented because they've got those 4 or 5 senators. They're a really tough spot electorally.
But that's what I've been thinking about the last couple of days, is just that I long for a political time when I wasn't so anxiously and acutely obsessed with the political decisions of Susan Collins of Maine.
Yeah.
I know.
No, exactly.
Like, several times a year in the Trump era, I think, is Susan going to save us? And part of why that's such an anxious and fraught question is because the answer consistently is, you know, maybe sometimes.
Rarely. It's like, you know, those rats that like press a button to get a reward and they press it more times when the reward like hardly ever comes.
Right.
But if we could rely on her, we'd be fine.
But
I think we can't. And I think as well, I know what you mean. You don't want to believe like, oh, this caricature that like the Republicans are going to bring us all down and the Democrats are the best ones. Because you don't want to believe that that's what the democracy has come to.
Yeah. No, and just to finish my thought about my initial reaction was, again, I don't want to be a GOP pasher, but they didn't discuss the merits at all. I mean, I didn't listen to all of it, okay? There was many, many right. hours of shit going on yesterday. But from what I caught, which is a significant amount, the words like Ukraine, you know what I mean? Zelensky, mm-hmm. Military aid, those things were not a part of their discussion. Mm-hmm. The Democrats were the ones that had to consistently bring up what the actual reason is for this impeachment.
Yeah, that's right.
And that was so, I was just like, I'm okay with you guys being against this. I'm okay for you to say he illegally withheld military aid. Mm-hmm. It was shitty, but it's not impeachable. Mm-hmm. Why don't you say that? Just say that. You know, it's when, like, when, why, I don't understand the goal, like how, what's happening.
Well, it's just obscuring the truth and like not giving an inch, right? But when the last impeachment, the Clinton impeachment, were they openly like, yes, he did this? And also, this is so ignorant, but what was he impeached for?
For lying.
He was impeached for lying for under oath.
Yeah, and obstructing Congress.
Okay, so, right, yeah. Okay. And so were they like, yeah, he lied, but we're okay with it? I wonder, because was it so divided then, I wonder?
You mean, do the Democrats feel that yeah. he had lied? God, I'm trying to remember. You know, I think there was basic, this is why there was so much discussion about what constitutes sex in yeah. that trial.
And
remember?
It reminded me of that when it was like the debate right. around so tiny words.
That's why the right. what it is.
Because
is,
whether yeah. or not you agreed that he lied had a lot to do with how you defined sex, right?
Right.
He and Monica, as far as we know, did not actually have traditional sexual intercourse, right? So if that's your definition of sex, then if my memory's right, I was like 12, but I believe at the time. Yeah.
And you were like, I want to know about this.
Right.
What is it?
No, honestly, weird digression, but my strongest memory from that entire trial was my rabbi giving a speech in synagogue Friday night saying, I'm hiding my newspaper from my children.
Wow.
Because he couldn't believe the content that was on the front page. That's my strong
it's
memory.
So much worse now. And I'm wondering, like, what I mean is that there's such bigger consequences.
That's right.
For this impeachment. But I just wonder if it was like if they were fighting so hard for Clinton the way the Republicans are fighting so hard for Trump.
I do believe that they fought hard for Clinton. I think because I was a child, I can't really speak to that with any authority. But what I can say, you know, in regard to what you were asking, Nagin, is that it's really difficult. I love your generosity of spirit. I also want to believe in a GOP that, even though I vehemently disagree with them, is sort of, you know, grounded in a solid ethics, just an ethics that are not my ethics. Mm. But it's almost impossible to look at what's happened over the course of the last couple of days and see it as anything other than Mitch McConnell really just adhering to the wishes of the president.
And it was, in fact, you know, perjury for Clinton. But I think one right. of the things, a huge difference between now and then, was that they agreed 100-0 on the rules of impeachment.
That's right.
Oh. Which means there was unbelievable bipartisan agreement on how the impeachment trial was going to be conducted.
Okay.
And that's not something that we have, right?
Yeah.
But Nagin, having lived through that time, aren't you shocked to find that, like, that was a time that we would now consider a moment of American consensus?
Yeah.
Not my memory.
It didn't feel good at the time.
Sure did yeah. not.
But it's interesting because I think it's not my memory either. I also am just like, oh, I wonder what I would have felt like if I was like a real adult during that time.
Yeah, who
and
knows,
I could have
right.
like fully understood what was happening. But I do get the sense that at the end of the day, senators were like, well, even though I'm a Republican, I fucking hate this guy, I am going to agree to these rules. Like, well, let's not be ridiculous. There was mm-hmm. a let's not be ridiculous mm-hmm. vibe. Mm-hmm. Let's talk real quick, though, mm-hmm. about the legal team. Trump's fascinating legal team. He's joined by none other than Ken Starr. You guys remember Ken Starr?
Speaking vividly,
of the,
absolutely.
The Clinton deal. Mm-hmm. And Alan Dershowitz, known for his fantastic work on the O.J. Simpson trial, but also as a colleague and friend and defender of Jeffrey Epstein. So, who, by the way, there are allegations against Dershowitz himself, which is fun.
That's correct.
What do you guys make of this team?
So you feel bad for Dershowitz because he's in mourning for his friend? You think he shouldn't be? He's not ready. He's not. Give the guy a break. He misses all the hobbies they had together, all the fun. Yeah, I mean, it's like a cartoonishly grotesque bunch of men who all have these strange histories of kind of trying to. Did you see Monica Lewinsky's tweet when she?
No.
I think she said, "Are you effing kidding me?" And I mean, speaking about like being a little bit too young to remember the Clinton, she was so young. She was like 22
yeah,
then.
Right, yeah, right.
So I still look to her like for her perspective on things because she, but to think that the same players are like in it this time, it's farcical. Like, is Ken Starr even a good lawyer? What's he been doing this whole time?
Well, he just had another scandal, also related, believe it or not, to the sexual assault of women.
Because that's
who would have thought it? You know, at his last institution, there was a big scandal. I actually don't know the details, but last institution that he was involved in, I believe it was a university. They mishandled accusations that women were, you know, they mishandled accusations against men for sexually harming women on campus, I believe it was. And he was considered part of the problem of that problematic response. So the thing that tethers these men, at the very least, is being accused of, let's say, to put it politely, deeply unsavory behavior connected to the safety of women, the sexual safety of women. And that's who Trump has chosen to publicly present him at this moment.
Yeah.
It's almost too on the nose.
Which is so fun because, like, you know, Nancy Pelosi chose these house managers and whatever that would look like a slice of America, right? There's women, there's people of
color.
She, like, made sure that not only were was there legal expertise, but that it wasn't going to be, you know, 12 or however many it is, white guys, which was obviously not something that, that the GOP cared about. But again, demographically, they should.
And even if they do care, do they have enough people on board under those descriptions?
Right. Well,
also a fair question.
Yeah.
There's a couple.
But yeah, it's like overworking the same two people.
Right. Like Ben Carson, do you have any law practice background?
Right. He's like, I know you're a doctor, but how's about you do this?
You seem
impeachment?
Great. Yeah.
So I guess in closing here, there's another day of impeachment happening right now. I guess we're going to see what happened, if they're going to allow any witnesses. That happens next week, so we'll know there. Do you is there any, I don't know, light in this tunnel? How much is Susan Gollins going to help us here? Do you have any predictions?
I suppose, not to be fatalistic, I do care about it, but isn't the conclusion almost foregone? And so I also,
well, yeah, it has been, so
right.
Yes.
And so I look at you know, polls, and they all say like people aren't really paying attention to.
Right.
And I get it. I just happened to have like a voiceover gig yesterday and I didn't look at the news once. I was like, and then when you were like, we're going to talk about this, you know, and what I'm saying is if you have
what
any
you're
normal,
saying is you're not prepared for this show right now.
if you have like a regular job and stuff to do, how are you going to keep track of like this very intense, archaic political process where you already feel like it's not going to work.
Well, that's right. And I have to say, reaching for a silver lining here is a Herculean task, right? Because it feels like, obviously, he's not going to become impeached. The politics make that almost impossible. But here's my silver lining, because I've been reaching for it over the last 24 hours. It's a little bit of a stretch.
I like it so far.
Walk with me, if you would. My silver lining is that let's assume the worst and that none of these documents get presented that should be presented and that no witnesses are allowed who obviously should be allowed. You know, what occurs to me is, while I think you're right, most people are not paying attention to this for obvious life fair reasons, those witnesses actually are being allowed in the public discourse because they're going on chat shows. My silver lining is that even if John Bolton doesn't get called as a witness, I have a prayer, a personal hope that we will see him on fill in the blank, CNN or even Fox, you know, somewhere.
90-Day Fiancé. We want to see him take a bride from around the world.
When John Bolton is on 90 Day Fiancé, I'll be so happy. I won't be able to stay in my body. But yeah, you know, I think the Les Parnas thing is an interesting example, right? Because like chances are he's not going to be pulled out and allowed to have his say in the way that I believe he should. But we already know all the things he would say.
Yeah.
Because he's gone on these chat shows. Mm-hmm. So my one silver lining is that I hope that the process is archaic and I think sort of not really viewed as it currently is by most people, does open sort of the kind of media bag
right.
for some of these characters.
For
who
the
know,
truths to come
for the
out,
to
even
come
though
out.
It's not, they're not in a formal
because
impeachment trial setting.
We're going to lose the formal fight, but we might actually make a change in the public discourse by a few degrees because the formal fight allows
and
for these characters
might,
to
oh,
be
that's
public.
A really, I like mm-hmm. that, guys. I went on that road with
Thank you,
you. Yeah. and I really enjoyed it.
Oh,
me
good.
Too.
I have to
mm-hmm.
say, as a follow-up to your silver lining,
please.
I do enjoy the Lev Parnas interviews. Again, like, I'm not saying he's like a fucking great guy or anything like that. Like, oh, he's going to be a great witness for the Democrats or anything. Mm-hmm. But the fact that he's willing to go on the record and say those things is really meaningful and should give people pause
yes.
about what the president's claims. I think because it's a foregone conclusion, I almost want to see it end quickly.
Mm.
So that we can get on with the elections.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think I, you know, they don't let, like, cameras into their trial.
Yeah.
So there's just been all these, like, pencil drawings of
right.
everybody in the inside.
I've been enjoying those enormously.
And it's like, it reminds me of when we do shows as comics. A
how,
big thing
how
is like.
How often they do pencil drawings
they come
of us.
Audience members come along and they do pencil drawings of us. And they send them to us on Instagram and they're always absolutely horrific. So it's actually traumatizing to see these. And also, if John Bolton does get called, imagine trying to draw that mustache.
Oh my
I guess
God.
It would just be a series of lines.
A lot. Yeah. It's a lot. On
so
his
maybe,
face.
Yeah, so that's another reason I hope he gets to show up.
Yeah, the drawings will be incredible.
Maeve,
good
thank
point.
You for bringing up that really significant point.
Yeah. Thank you.
But wait, Nikki, can I quickly say one thing to what
please.
You were mentioning? I know there's this argument with Parnas. It's like, well, he's a criminal, he's a dubious character, he's not a good witness for us. Anyone who Trump has chosen to have in his orbit is a dubious character.
Yeah.
We, you know, if we're going to use normal human standards for what makes a good witness, we can speak to no one who's had a conversation with Donald Trump
Melania.
In the last 3 years.
Melania, bad egg.
Did you guys see her MLK tweet?
No,
it
no.
was like, today is MLK day, hashtag MLK. Or something. It was like, literally just like, she just like, noticed the day that it was. That's all she did.
Listen, Nagin, be best. Be best. That's all. That's
be
all
best.
She wants.
Be best and be a birther.
Just those two things.
Okay, you guys. We'll keep track of these motherfucking impeachments mm-hmm. because while America doesn't care, we here at Fake the Nation, we fucking care.
We do.
For
and
sure.
So do those little people with their pencils in the
oh, yeah.
trial room.
You make them sound like they all are, like, I don't know, miniature versions of senators. All right, you guys, let us take a quick break. We're going to learn about our sponsors.
Mm.
You know what the sponsors do? They keep the lights on here at Fake the Nation, so we like very much listening about them. All right, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about the campaign trail. Today's show is sponsored by Prose. This is kind of, I feel like, you know, I'm on some sort of Lord of the Rings journey trying to figure out skincare. And I feel like this customized skincare line is really got my name on it. Basically, every bottle of Prose custom hair care and skincare, I tried the skincare just recently, is made to order and it's personalized. It's got a unique blend of naturally powerful and proven effective ingredients to meet your needs, like specifically you. And then the way they do it is you take this great, like, in-depth quiz, basically. They analyze over 80 factors for a complete view of your life, your beauty goals. Like, I have oily skin that's also dry, which is just a fun little conundrum. I live in New York City. Like, we've got these four seasons. My face gets weird during seasonal shifts. All of these things I got to kind of talk about in answering the questions. The other fun thing was they asked us at the end, like, do you like a creamy type of moisturizer or like a less creamy kind? And I was kind of like, I think like less creamy. And they were like, that's fine. Like, you can do that. But we think for your skin type, creamier is better. And I never knew that. So I love that there's so much kind of
personal information that goes into creating this. I got my stuff in the mail very quickly after. I got a wonderful serum. Like I said, this very creamy moisturizer. And this also very just delectably creamy cleanser that just kind of feel like I think it's possible that I've been washing my face with just like harshness. Like many years, because when I saw this cleanser, I was like, oh, is this what it's supposed to feel like? It's supposed to feel like a little bit of a delight on my face. That's not what I've been doing. So I don't know, guys. And here's the thing, you don't have to take my word for it. In a third party, double blind, dermatologist supervised controlled clinical study, which is like the gold standard for research studies, pros prove that personalization works better than off the shelf alternatives, which just sort of totally makes sense on a just logical level. If you think about it, just it makes common sense. Pros are so confident that you'll love your results that they're offering my listeners an exclusive trial offer so you can see the difference custom care can make. 50% of your first subscription order at pros.com/fakethenation will be taken off. That's pros.com/fakethenation. You get your free consultation and 50% off your one-of-a-kind formulas. Again, that's pros.com/fakethenation. Go and get your just super personalized, luxurious skincare products and hair care products. That's what I'm going to try next. So pros.com/fakethenation. I am the type of person that has subscribed to things and I have forgotten about those things. I have paid twice for a children's educational app, and I didn't know that I was paying twice for several months. Until that is, I discovered Rocket Money, and because I use Rocket Money, it just showed up all these things. The thing that I was paying twice for that made me incredibly angry, thank God Rocket Money ended that for me. It also cancels the subscription for you, so you don't have to like go through the hassle of going to that site and figuring out how to cancel. They actually make canceling very difficult. I don't know if any of you have had the experience, but I have been on a like a roundabout 8-exit nightmare trying to unsubscribe to something before. Rocket Money eliminates that hassle. It also alerts you to an increase in subscription price. And this is something Rocket Money did for me. It negotiates a lower price for something you already subscribed to. So like for my cable bill, it got me a lower price. And I was very happy about that. Nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they've forgotten about, which makes me feel better because I'm one of them. But it makes me feel terrible because what are we doing? Losing that money. I don't want to waste that money. And I know you don't want to waste that money. If you struggle with these kinds of purchases, if you struggle with finances in general, Rocket Money will help you with the budgeting, help you track your expenses, help you, like I said, cancel those unwanted subscriptions. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending. It helps you lower your bills so you can get back to saving. I mean, me and my husband have been on the warpath, and Rocket Money has been a really big part of that. It has over 5 million users with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. The average member has saved up to $740 a year using the app's features, which is, I mean, that tracks for me. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions. Go to rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Again, that's rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Save the money at rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Folks, I feel like I've mentioned this before, but I tried other services that I was displeased with. And then a neighbor of mine was trying Factor. I had pulled them aside in the hallway and I was like, what are you feeling about this Factor? And they were like, it is delicious. You should definitely do it. So then me and my husband did it and we loved it. They are chef-prepared meals that arrive to your door, and then in 2 minutes, you could be eating them. Like, it's so simple, and they're actually delicious. And for people like me who just sometimes, my schedule can be so maniacal between traveling in different cities and, you know, doing stand-up gigs. It's like I just don't have a typical schedule where I can plan, set aside time for cooking and all that stuff. So something like Factor really helps for me. The other thing that I love to do is try not to eat carbs. So they have a keto option, which is fantastic. It's super delicious. They use premium ingredients. You can get stuff with like filet mignon and shrimp and truffle butter and broccolini and asparagus, right? Like real ingredients. They're no fuss, no mess meals. They eliminate the hassle of having to prep. They're tailored to your schedule. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility. You can pause or reschedule. I've actually done that. I've both paused and rescheduled. Factor is basically your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long, and look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. So here's what I think you should do. I think you should head to factormeals.com/fakethenation50 and use the code fakethenation50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code fakethenation50 at factormeals.com/fakethenation50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. And we are back, and we're ready for topic number two. Okay, the trail of elections. You guys, of the top five candidates, and of the top five candidates in the primary season right now, three of them are senators and have to stay. Wait, three? Yeah, that's right. Sorry. This very simple math I'm having a hard time with. Three of the five top candidates in the primaries have to stay in D.C. in a room drinking only milk and water.
Vowed to silence.
Vowed to silence like a bunch of monks, writing little notes because they can't even bring their iPads.
That's right.
So what do you think that's doing? And we're talking specifically about Amy Klobuchar, Elizabeth Warren, and Bernie Sanders. What do you think that does to the campaign trail so close to the Iowa caucuses?
Well, it must be terrible, right? Especially for like Amy Klobuchar. I heard her talking about how she was looking in the face of her Republican colleagues to try and read them and see like where they were at. Were they being dishonest? Like, were they setting each other, like setting them up? And I was thinking, well, she couldn't do that if she wasn't physically there.
Yeah.
So, and that's really important to her. And that's their jobs, right? Like, they're working as senators. That's what they've been elected to do.
And they should fucking do it. I mean, the fact that this election is drawn out for fucking nearly 2 years is the fact that it takes them away from their fundamental duty is another reason why we need to completely revamp the way we do these primaries, which is within our power because it's a party decision.
Absolutely.
And it's also the subject of my next op-ed for Progressive Magazine, of which Maeve is also an op-ed writer.
Wait, you're writing about how short do you think the election cycle should be?
I mean, my main thing is that all of the elections, the primary elections, should happen on the same day.
Yeah,
and
that's
no
right.
state should have some kind of primo spot at the top. And then we give a shit about what Iowa says.
But
we give a shit. I don't want to give a shit about what any other state does. I just want to go and vote my conscience. And then that's it. Why this long list of states have to tell me what they're doing before I get to vote. And by the time I get to vote here in New York City, it literally fucking makes no difference.
Does not matter.
It is infuriating. And part of the reason that this happened is just like the reason Iowa's first is because there's a bunch of different reasons, but one of them is that there were fucking no hotel rooms in Des Moines for this one particular weekend that they wanted to do it, so they moved it earlier.
Think democracy should be crafted by hotel vacancy?
That's
that doesn't make sense to you?
It's like kayak.com/democracy
/gov.
But what's so creepy to me, they are so comfortable with being friends. Like, when you hear, you know, talk to a person via, I hear them on the radio, they're all like, I understand it's frustrating for you, but the thing is, we know best.
Yeah, get the fuck out of my face. No, so and I'm sure so many are not comfortable with it.
Yeah, it totally depends on the state. I actually did some volunteer work for Hillary in Ohio. Uh-huh. And so we were knocking on doors and doing all the traditional stuff that you do and getting screamed at in a very vehement way. And what I remember specifically is just the fatigue they had with being bothered by people who were clearly not from their state. Mm-hmm. When you're one of these states that really counts in our supremely fucked up process, I think, yeah, there is empowerment because mm-hmm. your voice matters. But also, I think there's a deluge that gets really exhausting.
Exhausting, right. Why? Another person's going to knock on my fucking door?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I get it.
There were signs indoors that said, like, I will not tell you who I'm voting for. Do not knock on my door.
It would be nice if you were just lonely. I like have the kettle on the whole time.
Also,
coming, young people.
Also, what about these sketch artists in the Midwest? Who do they have to draw? I feel like maybe you're waiting for someone to open the door. You do a quick sketch. I mean,
it's thoughtful.
Yeah,
and then you charge. You're gonna pay if it's like $5.
If it's good.
If you're you're canvassing, you'll be like, all right, fuck. Here's $5. But will you also please vote for Elizabeth Warren?
It must be disappointing though. Like, if you want to see your candidate and then they have to stay in D.C.
No. Here's my question about that. Mm-hmm. I've never seen a candidate before I got to vote for them. I mean, that's not entirely true. But like, I have not gone to rallies. I'm not. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they don't happen in New York. Mm-hmm. I mean, by and large, I know Bernie had a thing here and Elizabeth had a thing in Washington. I couldn't make either of those. But by and large, nothing happens in New York because our votes, again, don't matter.
Right.
We're a foregone conclusion. So I personally am not someone that's ever based my vote on seeing someone physically at a rally. To me, that's insanity talk and the kind of privilege talk that only Iowa and New Hampshire and South Carolina and maybe Nevada get to talk, say,
but
you know,
I think, but
to
I
the
think
rest
that
Maeve
actually makes a great point because, yes, from the states that you and I are from, I'm originally from Illinois. I've lived in New York since then. Like, we don't get a ton of that action, right?
Right.
But I think if you're from a state whose political culture is an in-person culture, which from what I'm reading is very true of places like Iowa, I think it might make a difference.
But it would have only made a difference since 1972, I think, is when we had this modern.
Right.
This is a modern primary system. This is not the Founding Fathers'
That's
primary
true.
System. You know
but,
what I mean?
But isn't, like, right now, like, Joe Biden gets to go and, like, shake hands and...
I'm sorry, right. You mean Scranton Joe? Continue.
What do you call Pete Buttigieg?
Pete Buttigieg.
Oh, Pete.
So
those two are just, like, wandering around Iowa high-fiving
people,
right?
So that's just so lonely, rattling in a jar or something.
I do think it gives them a good advantage. I mean, the ground game in those states
it's ridiculous.
Is so important.
It's ridiculous.
And as we said, like, these other senators, they have no choice. They have to be a part of this process this week in D.C.
I just feel like everyone should have to stop. it feels unfair. I just feel maybe part of it is my candidate is in D.C. and I'm pissed.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just sad for her. But, yeah. I mean, you know, let's talk a little bit, though, about what is happening, like, morally, ethically, and emotionally with these candidates. Because I feel like we've turned some sort of a corner, and
totally.
It happened last week with the debates. We talked about it for a smidge last week when Elizabeth and Bernie had their little thing. And then after we recorded, the CNN released the audio of what Elizabeth said to Bernie, which was like, are you calling me a liar on national television? And then he was like, let's not do this here, whatever.
Yeah.
Since then, they actually locked arms on MLK Day or in March. I thought that was nice. I thought it was so nice that I actually welled up a little.
So did I.
Did you?
Yes,
oh my God, I feel less crazy.
Did.
I feel less
but
crazy.
In part because, like, I feel, you know, when it comes to the left, we have a phenomenal capacity to be extremely cruel to each other about each other's candidates who all mostly agree with each other.
Yeah.
It's a startling cultural truth about the left. And my honest, like, I'm an Elizabeth Warren supporter. That's my preference. If it's Bernie, that's just fine with me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't feel a violent rage if it's not my gal, even though I do have a preference. And I think them locking arms on a day that's so much about unity and a really important man clearly turning over in his grave as he watches this America.
Yeah.
on that important day, you know, having them have a physical act of connecting, I was really moved by it.
I wonder if it's going to be good for their just like mental health to not be in like schlepping around the States that they've been doing, and they can just be in one place. And also,
as a comic, I love being at home for a while.
But like also they're sending out their surrogates, right? So like maybe their husbands and wives and like kids and stuff. Yeah. And you never get to hear people talking about you because usually it only happens at your funeral.
Right.
So I'm like, that is going to be so fun. Like, and even like their friends, their family, people who like obviously must have one or two problems with them. They're like, Elizabeth Warren, chews too loud. But they just have to be like, this person is impeccable. And you get to hear all that.
Yeah, I really want to see footage of Elizabeth Warren's husband on the stump.
Oh, yeah.
With their puppy.
Oh, my God.
In his arms. Just talking about how all the way she's incredible.
Yes.
Like, I'm ready for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that. The other option is holograms. Did you fly into Newark lately?
No, do they do holograms in Newark?
Yes, they have.
What?
They have a hologram of Steve Van Zandt. He's, you know, Bruce Springsteen's mandolin player. I had to look this up because I flew into Newark.
Because it didn't come immediately to my mind.
I didn't know it either.
It's supposed to be like New Jersey celebrities, but I guess like Bruce Springsteen himself didn't agree. So they were like, let's get his mandolin player. So you fly in, it's like, welcome to America. And then it's just this like man with long hair and a hat on.
And is he saying stuff or is he just like, is he just mandolining?
He's a hologram. So he's like waving and calling you over. And then he's saying like
New
Jersey
is wonderful.
He's not just
on a screen. He's literally like.
It's a shape of him.
A shape of him. Got you. Yeah.
So maybe they could do that. Like maybe.
Did you love how I wanted to make sure that you knew what a hologram was in that I don't trust that you know what you're talking about, Maeve, is what's happening.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. They were on TV. But also, do you like...
Correction, I was in my apartment and I was just flipping through the channels.
Oh, man, I love the E Street Band.
Maeve, as you were saying that, I was like carried to this incredible visual of like an all-hologram political rally where it's like a hologram of Bernie and then there's a hologram of Susan Sarandon doing like a gentle dance behind him.
Yeah. Very gentle.
But gentle but purposeful. And then there also are holograms of like different surrogates from around the country, but everyone's just mildly dancing as Bernie, you know, very articulately makes complaints.
Wait, let's talk a little bit about these cults of personality that sort of develop. I think what's interesting about the Bernie thing that happened also in 2016 is that, I am not out here to be a Bernie basher.
Right.
I will vote for that motherfucker if it comes to that, though in my vote that doesn't count in the primaries, I will be voting for Elizabeth Warren.
Mm. Right.
However, I do feel like there's a little extra je ne sais quoi of a negative variety in his fan base where... There's just where I feel like they're very quick. I mean, I just tweeted a couple of jokes during the debates and I just got like attacked, you know, by some Bernie people as if I was somehow attacking Bernie as opposed to just making jokes. Like all humor is lost for some reason when you try and.
Isn't that strange? Because he. And this, he's funny. Like,
totally.
You know, he has all these like lovely moments. He's like cantankerous and funny. And, like,
he's
really
a lovable grouch.
Straight up. And
he's asked people to be civil. He's asked his own people to be civil. So it, and he, so he knows that this is going on. It's not, he's not unaware.
I guess it's, I've seen it too. I mean, it's not like when you were saying, Danielle, I support Elizabeth Warren, but it's okay if you don't. You rarely get that from a Bernie supporter. They're like, but why? Don't you know that this and this and this? Mm. And it's like, I guess it's defensiveness because he was ignored for a long time or he was, you know, not taken seriously by, you know, the big newspapers or whatever. Is that
it? Well, and they also, I don't want to speak for that side. What do I know? But my sense is they feel that he was really unfairly sidelined by the Democratic Committee in that process. So it wasn't just that the media wasn't giving him his due, but I think they felt that procedurally we on the left harmed his chances.
I also think that Hillary Clinton got into the mix this week, didn't she?
Oh, yeah.
What do you make of that?
I know. I mean, it's like I want to talk about it, but I don't want to fucking talk about it.
Okay.
No, but I do. I want to mention she got in the mix by saying that like nobody liked him. Just one senator supported him. And I think there is maybe like something to that of
you think
like
so?
Institutionally, he wasn't the most popular guy and wasn't necessarily known for getting things done. Mm. Again, please don't at me. I will gleefully vote for him if it comes to that. I will knock on doors. I will fucking put money into it. I will do all of that I need to do. So it's not about that. I'm just saying it's like I've heard that so much, you know? And that was some, you know, why didn't he have any other senatorial endorsements? You know what I mean? I don't know.
Well, I think this goes back to your point, Nagin, about how long this process is, right? Because we have so many months to stew and fight and really create and then cling to dramas.
Yeah.
Right? It's so easy to sort of have moments like last week at the debate and then both sides to flare up in a vehement way about that.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, he and Warren agree, I think the percentage is on 96% of their platforms. So these differences are minuscule.
Oh, they're minuscule.
They're minuscule. And you forget that because this process is so overdrawn
miserable,
out.
Yeah. Maybe that's what Tom Steyer was trying to say, you know, when he just tried to get into the middle of them.
Yeah.
Maybe he was just trying to say, guys, you agree on 96. And they were just like, who is this man?
Well, I have to say, as someone with a little bit of codependence and social neediness, I really saw myself in him at that moment. I did. Yeah. Like, I'm the person who's like, hey, guys, everyone seems great. I'm just going to head out now. I'm going to avoid this conflict. There's nothing to do with my childhood.
But are you mad at Hillary?
Listen, it's not my preference. I voted for Hillary. She has every right to her feelings about Bernie, but I think airing them at this moment in the political process in such a public forum, it just doesn't feel appropriate to me, frankly.
Yeah. I mean, she did just say facts, though, didn't she?
Not just.
Well, she said nobody liked him.
I mean, that's not a fact.
I want to see the series. I can't imagine. You know what, though? She's been through it all.
Yeah.
She's been through literally fucking everything. The woman tried to give us universal health care in the early 90s, and she was treated like the devil for it.
Yeah.
And now there's someone like Bernie who's coming along, and she's like, what? I literally tried to do this 30 years. You know what? She's been treated like the devil for just being a woman.
Right.
For, you know.
For being a capable verbal woman out in the public sphere.
Do you think that maybe
she's taken so much shit on behalf of like the female population.
Yes.
And so I'm a little bit like, I really wish she hadn't have said anything that could have been used in that way.
Me too.
But she's been through it all, and what are we going to keep her in some iconic whatever forever? Like, let her talk. Jesus Christ. I don't know.
And do you think maybe she, like, wanted to say who she does support, but that would be, like, really bad luck for them or something? So instead she was like, nobody likes Bernie. But she didn't want to, like,
she didn't want to curse. So you should support Elizabeth. No, I know. I know.
But listen, you know, she's a human person, right? We so often forget that about her.
Yeah.
She's a human person. And also I would imagine, like, the guy who made your race so tight and so contentious, I would imagine
Who did not bend over backwards to then support you when you won the nomination.
Who supported you but did not bend over backwards. Yeah. I think that's fair. You know, I also think her assessment of how popular or not popular he was or how others perceive him, of course, is colored by her personal experience of him, which is as his, like, World War III rival, right? Do you know what I mean? It was so contentious.
Yeah.
So I also think it's understandable that she has strong feelings and wants to air them, but, like, that's why I think for this particular political moment, I think airing them in the safety and ease of a healing therapy context would be marvelous. But I'm not sure.
Maybe like doing
interview.
Some sort of a Reiki massage,
a sound healing.
Nice.
Let's do this.
Ooh. Okay, you guys. Well, we're going to keep track of what's going on. We're also going to try and not keep track of what's going on because you're right. Protracted as this fucking thing is, we don't need to fucking check in on it every week. And I wasn't even really going to check in on it this week, as you'll notice from the notes I sent out. But I feel like a lot of that stuff kind of bubbled up and we had to talk about it. So anyways, we talked about it. Are you happy, people of Fake Nation, or are you annoyed that we're talking about it? I don't know. I'm going to try and balance this shit out in the coming weeks. Don't worry.
Let us move on to topic number three. So Virginia became the 39th state to pass the Equal Rights Amendment. The first female House Speaker in Virginia's 401-year legislative history was the one who announced the vote in the House.
Amazing.
Which was, tearjerker.
Me too.
Right?
Right
Come
there.
On.
Oh my God.
It was like The Notebook. Just in time.
You had me at hello.
It was totally.
It was a lot of that.
She's Tom Cruise in this situation. What?
Okay. I guess so. Yeah.
So I guess what was your initial reaction to hearing about this? Maeve, you could tell me. You had a very honest initial reaction while you were getting coffee.
Because I was like, what the hell is this? and then, so, you know, I mean, I actually saw it first because, like, my friend on Instagram was like, my mom's been working for this for 30 years,
wow.
You know. And so I was like, this is incredible. And then I was also like, America hasn't passed this already.
Embarrassing.
Right? And then I was sort of, you know, reading that, like, the Justice Department, you know, issued this finding that the amendment, it was expired and it couldn't be ratified. So, like, maybe what they were doing, like, didn't matter anyway. And then I hadn't realized that three state attorneys last year, they sued the archivist of the U.S.
Which is hilarious.
Which yep. is so fun. It's like, you become an archivist because you love, like, you're an introvert. You don't want to get involved in some big scrap. Like, you right. care about history and procedure.
And big dusty rooms.
Yes.
Right.
And now suddenly you're, like, at the center
you're getting
of this.
Sued. Yeah. Well, I mean, just so that listeners know what we're talking about, so Virginia became the 38th state to pass the Equal Rights Amendment, which means that's enough states for that then to go into a ratification mm-hmm. convention and that we could then, you know, change the Constitution. By 1979, only 35 of the needed 38 state legislatures had voted to ratify the ERA. Between 1979 and 1982, they extended the deadline in 1982 as a result. And then by 1982, a handful of those states rescinded their ratifications.
Correct.
And which is something that I forgot about and found very interesting, because if you're, I think maybe one of them was Nevada, like, or Idaho, whatever. I'm really being a dick right now by just not being specific about what the states were. Anyways, point is, if you're one of those states, you want to be like, what? They voted to pass the ERA? Like, it is a very active thing to then sit in the legislative chambers and then actively vote to rescind it. Like,
yeah.
that's, I mean, you really have to hate the idea of equal rights for women do that.
But we have to remember that there was a major cultural campaign led by Phyllis Schlafly at the time, who came to my all-women's campus and just created a nightmare scenario by saying things about women that are horrible. But Phyllis Schlafly, you know, led this huge campaign and really made the ERA kind of this epicenter issue of whether or not we were going to move toward, from our view in this room, a more progressive or less progressive future of this country. So it became a symbol for something much bigger than it was. I think it's shocking that it did not pass and still has not passed. I also teared up reading about it and seeing the footage. What I will say is what fascinated me is that the main conservative argument sort of against the ERA is that if it passes, you will not the main conservative argument, but one of the main arguments is that if it passes, having bathrooms separated by sex will become illegal. Not only is this not true, but also I have to point out.
Yeah, they love that argument.
They love a toilet. You know, when you think about conservative arguments,
yeah.
you know,
obsessed.
Right. So, like, when we're talking
like,
about
how can we bring toilets into the impeachment?
100%. I mean, if you know, I've always wanted to sort of walk in the shoes of a really, really politically conservative person to see the world through their eyes. And what I wonder is, if I did that, would I enter a toilet space and think I'm in danger? Because it seems like such a fraught area. So, like, the trans, you know, rights issues, we all see that as a human rights discourse, and that got reduced on the conservative side to toilets.
Yeah.
You know, the ERA is this fundamental and so clearly needed call in our main, most precious document in this country that women deserve the same rights as men, but it's going to get reduced again to toilet business.
That's, right. So my question is, and this is what not necessarily conservative. Well, this is what I think moderates on the liberal side would say is, do we actually need it?
Like, why not attack things like one by one
directly?
And,
right. Like,
yeah.
because it is, I'll go ahead and say, vague, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's kind of vague. Whereas we could say what we want is like pregnancy, fairness for pregnant women. And right. we want, you know, for women that are breastfeeding, and we want this for like, or we want to remove like the pink tax or whatever. Like those are concrete policy solutions to problems that women face. Why would we need the ERA? Like, what does that do for you?
I guess it's like, how much do you believe in language and the power of kind of, you know, if you wanted to sit back and read the Constitution, like which people do, and they pull it out at parties and like, I love that about America. Then, you know, get it right and keep working on it and yeah. maybe do both if you yeah. can manage that.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, first of all, Maeve, I want to be at these parties. They sound incredible. But I actually think there is it fundamentally matters enormously to me. As a woman, that I am in the Constitution, that we are all in the Constitution in a written, clear way. And I understand that it's going to be a protracted and perhaps vicious battle to get there, which is another argument against it. But I don't care. You know, for this next generation of women who are coming up, I want them to know that the Constitution covers them in a really formal, obvious way, which it currently does not. I think we need it both as a symbolic gesture, but also we need it because it makes that document much more sort of atavistic and out of date than it needs to be to have that absence.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think.
What's also interesting is, like you mentioned, suing the archivist. So, you know, because the Trump administration basically issued a 38-page opinion declaring the ERA dead.
Imagine if he wrote that himself.
What do you think he would say?
38-page yeah. Donald Trump opinion.
I mean, handwriting is very
large. It would
large.
Be wide-ranging, I'm
right.
sure.
Oh, yeah. indeed.
A lot of
very
Sharpie.
Distracted.
Right.
Yeah. And misspelled.
I love women.
Thick,
women are incredible.
Such a thick marker on that fucking memo. So thick. It bleeds to the other side. You could barely read what's on the other side.
Did you see the timepiece about Kushner that showed some of the photos of what's in his office? And it's all like maps and things with just Trump in huge letters being like, way to go, son. In huge Sharpie letters. Oh, that was a heartbreaker.
Trump writes that stuff on Jared Kushner's
docs. On Jared Kushner's like docs. Yeah, it's like, way to go, son. Nice.
And meanwhile, his actual sons are like, could you please sign this, Dad?
I miss you.
I guess I bring this up because I just wanted to muse about the type of paper that we were looking at in that 38 pages, but also because what is this something we should be fighting for? I mean, let's say that we have him for another 4 years, dear God, no, but let's say that happens. Is this where we should be putting in our energy?
Well, from what I understand, Virginia has a progressive like state government at the moment.
At the moment.
Yeah.
Newly.
They've kind of.
So why not?
Purple to blued a little.
Right. So like, why not go for it if the will is there? I mean.
So like what has to happen now is that then those states gather and there's a constitutional convention and then that's what, you know, how we add.
Which gets complicated because like those states that rescinded, do those rescinded votes count?
Right. So that's part of it. So it's like technically we have 38. If we ignore the rescinded ones, which there's a legal question about whether or not we can ignore those rescinded ones.
What do you think? Do you think it's too much to take on at the moment or?
So. It's so funny because in some way, I mean, it's like, you're absolutely right, Danielle. It's so fucking obvious that we should have it. Why don't we already have it?
Right.
Like when you were like, how does America not already have this? That's what I think every time I hear, you know, the term ERA. Like, how is this even a fucking question? How is this even a fucking question? How is it a question for any conservative male that we don't have the ERA? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It feels so unbelievably reasonable to have it, necessary to have it, human to have it. The fact that we don't already have it is baffling. But also I see the argument of we have to pick our political fights in the right moment.
Mm-hmm, right.
Virginia passed this bill because they could, right? They didn't pass it fucking 2 years ago.
Right. No way.
They passed it now. They had the votes and it's been a longstanding bill that's been reintroduced into the legislature every year.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the year that it won. Right. So it's they that was all, you know, it could have not, it could have easily not happened, and we wouldn't be having this conversation. Right. So I think, I guess I would rather put our energy, and this is like, why am I even pitting these things against each other? But I would put our energy on climate change.
Yeah.
I know. Is that weird that I'm just like, I'm prioritizing?
I did not expect that turn at the end.
No, I know. I mean, there it is. That's what I would do.
Logical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's more logical.
I mean, from that argument, let's not worry about anything else. Because climate change, the world's on fire. So like from that argument, yeah, I'm with you. Like if we're choosing between climate change
and
anything.
We have to, I know. And do we have to choose? No one's even asking me to choose. But for whatever reason,
it's a woman's right to choose. This is this whole thing.
Okay, but I have like one more argument for the ERA, if I could.
Please.
So I do think that it's happening now partly out of political capacity and convenience. But also I think, you know, one of the gifts, I can't believe I'm just about to say this, one of the gifts of the Trump era is that I think.
You're such a silver liner today.
Thank you, Nagin.
Tiffany, is that what you're talking about? Oh, she's beautiful. A bauble on the tree of America.
Tiffany, and also, I think one of the gifts of this era is that we are seeing a vehemence and a publicness in feminist discourse that we just didn't see before. And I feel like this conversation is coming up organically because of this political moment. You know, I don't think it's a coincidence that we're talking about this right now because we're all these Me Too movements, all the other kind of different variants of feminism, it's all about really being fucking fed up and insisting on what should have already been the norms to now be the norms.
Yeah.
This is another example of that at a really important national scale. And weirdly, but I think it kind of makes sense, there's a television show that's about to come out about the fight for the ERA. It stars Cate Blanchett. It's called Mrs. America. It looks amazing. I watched the trailer.
What's it on?
I don't know what station.
One of the things.
I love that Cate Blanchett.
She's Phyllis
Schlafly. Australian actor.
That's right. She's playing America's preeminent conservative woman, Phyllis Schlafly.
That's great.
But none of that feels coincidental to me. Yeah. I think we're in this moment where we are so fed up. You know, you said it's so obvious we should have it. It's also so obvious that when a man is caught on record saying that he grabs women's genitalia, he should not be awarded the presidency.
Right.
But
right.
Who are you talking about? Sorry, like I said, I had a day of work yesterday.
Right. So we'll talk later. So things have happened. But we're still in such a seismically sexist place in this country. I think that's the main argument for getting the ERA passed.
I guess it feels a little bit like, and I'll say the Me Too era feels like it's on the decline? It's hard to point to results.
Yeah.
That's why. And then maybe this is what you're saying is that this is an infusion of energy into something like that started with the Me Too era. Mm-hmm. A possibility
like
that came
a
up.
A concrete outcome.
Yes.
That could come from it.
Right.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know. Look, I think we're both right. I think we need to focus on climate change. And we need the fucking ERA. Can both of those things be true?
Yes,
Nagin.
I don't know. Women emit carbon. So I have to
hold
deal
it
with
in.
These ladies.
Fucking hold it in. You guys, that's the end of the show.
Already?
How do you feel?
I'm going to sit in the studio and keep talking. If you want to leave, leave. You got me all riled up, Nagin.
Seriously. I feel great. I feel a little, you know, generally politically enraged, but in a nice way.
Oh, good. Yeah. I like to add a little gloss onto
just
the rage.
Yeah.
Just a little lavender.
It's a silver lining rage, if
yeah,
I may.
Yeah, no, sweet.
Yeah.
You guys, what I would love for the people of Fake the Nation to be able to do is to follow you and all the things you do. Danielle, tell them, where do they do that?
Well, a great way to follow me is on Instagram. I post there all the time. And my tag there is at ddurch, which is D-D-U-R-C-H. And you can also always go on my website, DanielleDurchlag.com. Durchlag is spelled D-U-R-C-H-S-L-A-G. That's incorrectly spelled in the German. That is my name.
I know. Before you start sending her emails about it,
right.
She knows.
I know it's incorrect in the German. I didn't choose it. And also, if you are in town this Sunday and you're free at 8 p.m., please come see my film. I'm showing one of five shorts by Jewish female filmmakers about Jewish women.
Oh, my God, you guys. I've seen Eleanor Villanoy.
It is so haunting and fantastic.
Oh, thanks, Nikki.
And thrilling and creepy cool and just all of those things with the fantastic Judy Koons.
Oh,
who,
she's amazing.
If you're a Broadway connoisseur, know exactly who I'm talking about. Fucking fantastic. So everyone should absolutely go see that if you're in New York City Sunday night. And I'm sure the lineup is great. The festival always has just really curates the shit out of their lineups. Maeve, where do people find you?
Maeve in America on Instagram. That's really the only place I am. But the thing is,
you're also on Twitter in a really non-committal way.
I don't like Twitter. I don't like Twitter. But on Instagram, this is what I recommend looking at. Someone just named a turtle after me.
What?
And they sent me a picture of this 2-year-old turtle. They're still tiny when they're two. Wow. And they were like, we're going to
call... they're tiny in general, no? Is this going to be a big one?
It's going to be giant.
Oh, wow. like a 40-pound one?
Like, it's going to live to be 100.
Oh, it's going to outlive you, right?
It's going to be... I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to get so excited about that. I was excited about how long they live.
I never thought about your
imminent death. No.
Well, I'm getting up there. She'll keep my legacy going strong.
That's right.
So you have a photo of this.
Yeah, at Maeve in America.
Turtle.
And then you'll see Maeve, the turtle who will, I guess, I'll leave everything to.
Yeah. Legacy turtle.
Yeah.
Okay. Everyone follow these fine people. You guys know where to find me and all the things I do. Guys, I made a mild effort to update my website. Oh, this fun thing happened where someone emailed me that they were in town from Italy. And do I have any shows? And I happen to see the email, which I don't always. I know there's tons of emails from you guys that I have not yet gotten to, but I will. But I saw this email and I immediately responded, oh yeah, I have like 3 shows this weekend, none of which are on my website. Little known fact, a lot of my New York gigs will not be on my website because I do a lot of them, right, Maeve? You don't put all your fucking gigs on your website.
No, because you might just be like, I'm just going to run over there and do 10 minutes or something.
I'm going to run over and do a spot. Yeah. So I don't always post those. But if you email me, then you'll know where I'm going to run over and do a spot. Mm-hmm. So do that or comment to fakethenation.com. And so it was really fun because then I met one of our expat listeners in Italy who came to see me at the Greenwich Comedy Club, which was so delightful. So you can do that. And I made a mild effort at updating my website. I'm going to be in Iowa not only tomorrow for Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, but also I'm going to be in Iowa at the University of Iowa in Iowa City. I think it is, maybe, later this month, or February, I think it's February. So, and I'm also going to be at Smith College and some other fucking places, guys. So please come and see all that stuff. But in the meantime, what I really would like to do is I'd like to thank the many people who make this show happen. That's our talented producer, Anita Flores, our wonderful audio engineer, Andy Christens, Gabby Alter wrote our theme music, Lily Fleshler helps with research. And you guys, we'd love to hear from you. Send us your feedback, topics you think we should be chatting about, or guest ideas. You can leave us a voicemail at 347-770-4981 or drop us a line at comments at fakethenation.com. I'll be back next week. Goodbye.